And welcome everybody to Off the Hook Overtime here on YouTube. Do I have to say that? People know they're on YouTube. I mean, how would you not? I made it. Kyle, you made it?
I made it.
Yeah. Rob, Gila, you there?
We are here.
And we're on YouTube, actually.
Still waiting for the delay to catch up with us. Oh, there we go. We are on YouTube.
Yeah, so lagged. Gila, sounds like you have something to say.
We do lag a little bit. Yes, just a friendly reminder. Overtime exists on YouTube. The chat is a companion piece to Overtime and does not start until the Overtime show does. Repeated infractions of this rule will get you banned from the chat.
Wait. How do you make an infraction of that rule? The chat exists. Because you're telling us now the chat exists outside of Overtime, even though it's not supposed to.
Correct. So the chat box exists even before the video goes live.
Huh.
So, yes, as a friendly reminder, if the video is not live, please don't be chatting. Thanks.
So now I'm curious, when can you start chatting then? When does it begin? Or is it always?
So it's always there, but we want one of the guidelines we've been trying to abide by is please don't chat until the show is live.
So now, okay, I'm sorry. I'm just really fascinated by this because I don't do this kind of thing very often. When we stop, right, when we turn the lights off tonight, can people still chat well into the morning and forever?
Now that I don't know because I tend not to look, but I think that once we stop, it goes away.
I believe that's the case, yes.
Okay, so if it goes away, wait, this is like the mysteries of life here. So it goes away at the end.
Deeply philosophical, yes.
But what happens before the beginning?
So I think what will happen is that when somebody replays this in 2 days, when the live chat is synced, it will just, I don't know if it will appear or it will be gone or it will just like be in the chat if kind of a pre-roll.
Fascinating.
Bobcat says, screw rules and rulers. Friendly reminder that live chat is a privilege.
Whenever you say friendly reminder, it kind of sends chills up my spine because...
As well it should. Yeah. Sorry, I used to be a classroom teacher.
The reminder is friendly, but the enforcement is not going to be friendly.
You know...
All right. You know, we got off on a bad foot. We got off on a bad foot this overtime.
I am laughing, but I'm doubling down on empowering you as the moderator and senior official there. And basically, let's keep the pre-chat extra light, I think. Like, almost invisible.
That's why I'm not on the chat. I'm afraid of the chat.
But I think this is generally hard to police in practice, and it's mostly the Google network showing off, because I presume, well, I guess it's also non-logged in people, but whatever the case, it's not going to get answered, and maybe this is it. Questions asked before then just don't really get considered as much, and I'm assuming that's already the practice, right?
Right. I mean, that's definitely part of it. And I think the key is we just want to make sure that people are not getting in there when we're not monitoring.
That's because the key. They might say something untoward or.
Right. And the monitoring does not happen in the same way until Overtime goes live.
Uh-huh. Interesting. That's all. All right. Yeah.
Because, you know, we've got other stuff going on.
Let's go. Yeah, go easy on us and the moderator.
So Gila can't be bothered to monitor when the show is not on the air at all times. All right, I see how it is.
Yet.
Yeah. Maybe we can get artificial intelligence.
I'm just saying that moderation bot that is unleashed by Gila in the future, just watch out.
When Bard gets back from his cruise, maybe we can... ask him if he's willing to take this on as well.
Well, all right.
Can I read a serious story? Because I've been trying to read a serious story. All right. It seems like we lapse into silliness way too often, and I don't want to do that.
Some of us are trying to have a good time.
So wipe that smirk off your face, Kyle. All right. I want to read something from the National Review, if that's okay. National Review, a well-respected conservative magazine, one of the few we have left in this country. All right, then. All right, from National Review, dated today, actually, November 29th. Gay furry hackers breach U.S. nuclear research facility. All right. I've tried to do a serious show here, and I can't even read a headline without people making it into something silly. This is a big deal.
This was not you.
It's U.S. nuclear research facility. What's funny about that? Gay furry hackers. What's funny about... That's not funny.
So you went into it with this, like, very... So Rob over here thought this would be a very good time to have a sip of seltzer.
Every time, Rob.
And then you intoned gay furry hackers, and Rob almost spat out the seltzer. That is why I started laughing. Do carry on, though.
Do you think there's something funny about gay furry hackers? That's amusing to you. Gay furry hackers?
That's not the legitimate, serious name.
That's not the funny part.
The U.S. nuclear research facility? You find that funny?
It's hilarious.
Oh, boy. We have a lot of work to do. Okay. Let me try and get through this. All right. Sieged Security, which describes itself as a group of gay furry hackers, recently infiltrated a leading U.S. nuclear research facility and obtained sensitive personal data. The group claimed responsibility for the attack in statements on public forums. And this is a quote. Meow, 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 the group wrote. That's from National Review, not National Lampoon, National Review.
I'm so sorry. I'm reading this from that.
In fact, I will go out and buy a physical copy of the magazine just so I can open it up and read that quote again, you know, see it in print. Meow, 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 the group said, or group wrote. The hackers then added that we've successfully gained access to Idaho National Laboratory, and that we've accessed hundreds of thousands of user, employee, and citizen data. Why is citizen data in a nuclear facility? I'd like to know that. Including full names, dates of birth, addresses, and social security numbers. Of course, you got to put social security numbers into a nuclear database. Idaho National Laboratory, known as INL, spokesperson Lori McNamara, confirmed the breach, stating that it is being investigated and federal law enforcement is involved. I'm sorry, that's funny. Excuse me. Earlier this morning, Idaho National Laboratory determined that it was the target of a cybersecurity data breach affecting the servers supporting its Oracle HCM system, which supports its human resources applications. INL has taken immediate action to protect employee data. McNamara said this a full 9 days ago, on November 20th. INL has been in touch with federal law enforcement agencies, including the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security's Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, to investigate the extent of data impacted in this incident. Nothing about being in touch with veterinarians or anyone else that might know with. Cats are from. The INL is one of 17 national labs in the U.S. Department of Energy complex and employs more than 6,100 people who focus on nuclear research, renewable energy systems, and security solutions. We're willing to make a deal with INL. This is what the hackers wrote. If they research creating in real life cat girls, we will take down this post. You find that funny, Rob? Cat girls? I don't think cat girls appreciate being laughed at. Now, for those who don't know, a cat girl generally refers to a young, breasted female animated character with feline traits like cat ears or a tail. And now we know. Many people ask why for INL breach. We are cats. Intricacies such as why do not concern us. The hacking group Sieged Security claims it has hacked NATO twice this year and released sensitive documents. NATO confirmed it is facing persistent cyber threats and has implemented additional cyber security measures and a litter box. I'm joking. But boy, yeah, gay furry hackers, right on.
And I love that federal investigators are hunting gay furry hackers.
Well, they
try to track them down.
They have to. All the court documents.
In hot pursuit.
All the subpoenas and things like that. They have to say gay furry hackers in there. So
much paperwork.
But just knowing that you're getting federal agents to start conferring. And maybe that's why they want to encrypt the radios. Because, a recording of federal agents or cops saying, okay, we're on the gay furry hackers now. you know, that could be used in some kind of a musical track and repeated over and over again to the embarrassment of said agents. So there you go.
You know, InfoSec is about being prepared. And if the IT folks at INL had just invested in maybe some spray bottles they could fill with water, they could have been safe from these cats.
That's true. That's true. Maybe. We'll see.
But these cats, I mean, maybe they aren't the worst thing. And this is a wake-up call, you know, that, you know, will make this lab a better place, as Rob pointed out. You know,
maybe.
Implementing better protocols.
I mean, tell me an environment a cat does not improve, you know? So maybe just making the place a little bit more cozy would be something.
Yeah, like a little scratching post. Little...
And if there are mice... I don't know what the parallel is to mice here, but the cats will be on top of that as well. All right. Another story about a ransomware gang. This ransomware gang, I think we talked about this a couple of months ago, actually, that they were threatening to do this, but they actually went ahead and did it. A ransomware gang has filed an SEC complaint against a company that refused to negotiate. The Black Cat ransom. Wait, another cat group? Are all hacker groups now... cat related? Is that, did I miss something?
Cause well, you know, short days, long nights, living on the edge, not afraid to die.
Yeah. All right. Well, wasn't like that in my day, but all right, fine. The Black Cat ransomware gang has begun abusing upcoming U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission cyber incident reporting rules. I'm not, are they abusing it or are they using it? I'm not sure. This is kind of editorializing here. In CSOonline.com. Yeah, they are abusing or using the reporting rules to put pressure on organizations that refuse to negotiate ransom payments. The attackers filed an SEC complaint against one victim already in a move that's likely to become a common practice once the new regulations go into effect in mid-December. Cyber criminals behind the Black Cat ransomware, also known as ALF-V, listed Meridian Link, a provider of digital lending solutions to financial institutions, on its data leak website that's used to publicly name and shame companies the group allegedly compromised. Most ransomware gangs have adopted this double extortion tactic in recent years to force the hand of uncooperating victims by threatening to sell or release data that the attackers managed to steal. In fact, some cybercriminal groups don't even bother deploying the encrypting malware sometimes and go straight to data leak blackmail. This seems to have been the case with Black Cat and Meridian Link, according to databreaches.net, who reported speaking with the attackers. The breach reportedly happened on November 7th and only involved data exfiltration. After an initial contact by someone representing the company, communications went silent, the attackers said, and as a result... On November 15th, the group listed the organization on their data leak blog, but took it one step further. It filed a complaint with the SEC for failure to disclose what the group calls a significant breach compromising customer data and operational information using form 8-K under item 1.05. I don't know why they're giving us such specific information on where to find that. I guess ransomware people read this, so they need to know how to get there. But boy, that takes chutzpah. I mean, that's something. I haven't seen this before. Now it's happening.
I love that the criminals have resorted to the I'm telling strategy.
Well, and they know that the industry is under a tremendous amount of pressure, as well as these like labs and so on. It's got to be something that's taken seriously. And if there's sort of a feeling that they're not getting what they want out of it, I can see that this tactic maybe to try to heat things up or force reporting that the company may not be ready to for liability or other reasons.
Well, I mean, if they're filling out these SEC forms, do they have to give real information as far as who they are? You know, it seems like that would be not very smart.
I think it's all performance art to them.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Just know that. That's a very foundational thing to all of this.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well have fun if you're going to be doing something like this. You know, what they're exposing is security holes, for sure. I'm not a big fan of ransom, obviously, and certainly stealing is stealing. But exposing security holes of something like a nuclear plant or any other kind of government facility— That's something that needs to be known. And well, it's known now. Certainly is. All right, our phone number is 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. If anyone out there would like to say hi or tell us something that's been going on with you in the world of technology, communications, hacking.
No rules.
I mean, there's no rules.
I don't know. Talk to Rob.
The rule is you have to dial 802-321-4225.
What do you mean there are no rules? You have
to use the phone network.
You know, to speak your mind, and I meant that in a very loose sense.
Now look what you've done. You made the phone ring.
Well, I figured that might stir things.
All right, let's take our first call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm in. I just went.
You happy now, Kyle? You happy with what you did?
This is what happens when there aren't rules.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, caller. Go ahead.
Maybe we should have artificial intelligence wrote an article for 2600.
Oh, you know, no one's ever thought of that before. So, yeah. I got to tell you, you know, it's for me at least, it's really easy to tell when something is written by artificial intelligence. There's certain things that AI entities do when they're writing things, the formula, the way they speak. You know, it basically is a big waste of time if that kind of thing happens. And, you know, you rob yourself of the opportunity to actually create something. So it's not a very good feeling either way, I don't think.
And could you turn my volume up? I can't hear myself.
You can't hear yourself in your head? I mean, you're talking.
No, nobody. We can't hear me. We can't hear the call. We can hear you, but we can't hear the call.
Is that true? Anyone else? Because should I turn them up?
Yeah, just watch for listen for feedback, and maybe turn our mics down a little.
Oh, he's loud now.
Okay. Am I louder? Okay.
You're as loud as you can possibly be. See, what happens when I talk now? I'll turn myself down.
Yeah, turn us down a little.
Okay, so now we can barely hear us, but you can hear Rebel.
Yeah, but we can be emphatic. And all right, we'll
have to shout from the other side of the room.
Okay. Why aren't you taking listener phone calls on the radio show?
You ask the same question every week. Tune into the last show and listen to yourself, all right? And that's how you get your answer.
Not the last show. I'm talking about the past hour on the radio.
But you asked the same question the last time you called, and we answered the question then. So why should we answer the same question now?
Okay.
We want to create new content, not old content.
You know, people should, if people would understand settings and options and things like that, then maybe they wouldn't get hacked, and maybe ransomware wouldn't happen if people would, know how to set permissions correctly and know what settings to select and things like that.
Yeah, people are making mistakes. Definitely a problem.
And since ransomware, where does the money go? Can't they just, trace that? Like, wire money to some bank in wherever, you just say, oh, who's
account? That's why cryptocurrency is used as the payment of choice for many.
Right,
but
if I have a company, I don't have cryptocurrency. Sorry.
Well, they do have a helpline at the ransomware. I'm not kidding. The ransomware people have helplines for companies that don't have cryptocurrency. They will set you up. They will show you how to get started and how to turn over all the money to them.
Why don't you trace the helpline then?
Yeah, Rebel, of all people, you should know that it's possible to set things up and disappear.
Okay, and then, let's see. How can we solve this problem?
I think you should just go out there to the nuclear facility and say that you have a solution. And right away, their problem with the ransomware people will pale in comparison to what they're dealing with then. So I would do that.
Maybe they should just get mainframes, and said, like in the old days.
Go back in time. Yeah. I mean, I'm in favor of old technology in certain instances. I'm not sure this is the solution here, but you might have touched upon something where not getting rid of old systems might not be the smartest thing to do, at least not too quickly.
Right.
Are you chatting? You're typing, aren't you? I hear you typing. This is why I don't like the chat, because people type while they're.
Oh, we're getting an emergency interruption.
What's going on?
Rebel, stop.
Stop.
Stop saying you're breaking in with an emergency interruption in the chat. Wait, if you do it again, you'll be banned for the week.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Why are you saying you're breaking in to the phone call with when you're not doing that? You're typing it, and everybody can see you typing it and not actually doing it.
Well, hold on for long distance. One moment. Would you like the rate, sir? One moment, sir. I'll give you the rate.
Whatever the rates are, they're not worth it. They're just not worth it.
That's a message unit call.
You know, Gila's standing up, and she got her finger on the above the band key, and you don't want her to press that. Because if she does, you know, you've lost a method of communication that I know you value.
Let's see, what else?
Nothing else. final words, Rebel. We're going to open up the phone lines for everybody else on the planet.
Maybe I should have a YouTube page.
Yes, that would be something. They deserve that. They do. All right. Thanks for your call. We'll be in touch. And I'm turning him down now and turning us back up. Can we do that? All right. So now regular. We got to figure out this board. Did we really need to raise him? I don't know if we actually needed to do that.
We were actually getting mixed signals in the chat at the moment, so I can't even give you a straight answer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When did we not get mixed? Yes, some people were saying they can hear everybody fine.
All right.
But I do like that we've just solved the issue of crime with the just could you not strategy.
Yeah.
There is a big, I think, movement to not put as much of a emphasis on the users who are usually the victims of these things, that they are not setting something right. A lot of times, as we point out for years, I think a lot of this stuff isn't really well designed for how it's put into practice, put into use.
Right.
And these vulnerabilities are exploited, and then it's already in production. People are using it. And then you find out sort of after the fact, instead of having robust design.
Right, but you know, I do believe if a government agency or some huge company is using something that's defective and it's our data that's being compromised, they need to be exposed for having poor security practices. And no matter how they were talked into using poor products in the first place, we're still the victims. So you don't just get away with paying a fine and nobody knows about it.
Yeah. I'm all for that. I also think, though, that the types of reporting and disclosure and how you're doing that are important, important distinctions to make, because now is a very bad time to have people that are doing important research to be worried about their physical security or their personal lives and information being out there, just like any of us would not appreciate that and don't when aspects of our life are feeling like they're being compromised or that they're at risk. It changes your ability to lead a happy, productive life. And so so when this does happen and people are trying to make a point, having just a yard sale of info from research facilities or trying to make money off of it is not necessarily sort of an altruistic security stance. I understand there's groups that don't care or want really nothing to do with anything responsible, but it is worth making a distinction.
Go ahead, Rob.
While we're waiting for our next phone call, I did want to relate a bit of feedback we got on our radio hour over Mastodon, where you can find us off the hook at hackers.town. Adam says, in relation to the police scanner story that we were talking about, just because the names of victims and suspects were read out over the air in the past doesn't mean we should keep doing that forever. But bring your concerns to the people who fund the police department, likely city officials to set the budget. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who keep the PD in check.
They're the ones who are supposed to keep the PD in check. Oftentimes they don't.
Yeah. And in cases like our city, I think that is abject failure, a textbook style. But he goes on to suggest, for the record, I feel the solution could be to phone those names over instead of broadcasting them. Some PDs already do this.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before. Use a different method of conveying that information, whether it's, you know, some kind of encrypted text or a phone call or something like that. You don't have to broadcast people's names in the clear. And that shouldn't be the only reason why you're suddenly encrypting everything. That's just not right. Do we have a phone call, Kyle?
Yes, the line is ready.
Okay, and good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Good evening, gang. Once again, this is Tim in Connecticut. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. I was wondering, you know, before you, when you were talking about the passwords and stuff, most people, unfortunately, just buy something in the store, take it home, start using it, never once imagining that they need to change the password to get into their particular unit, like they're the only people on Earth. Speaking of that, regarding hacking and things, did you see the article coming out of Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, about the Municipal Water Authority? They said that they were hacked by an Iranian-backed cyber group called Cyber Avengers.
No cats.
They took control of one of their pumping stations.
Why do you have to have a pumping station accessible on the internet? I don't get that.
The thing that they have, it's a Unitronics machine. Once they tried to, it had stopped, so they did a power on reset. And when it pops back up, it said, "You have been hacked. Down with Israel. Every equipment made in Israel is Cyber Avengers' legal target."
Legal target, okay. It's great when you can say the law's on your side when it's not. This kind of thing is inevitable. It's been happening forever on anything that's connected to the internet. I question why is something like that. Can't you have closed networks for certain crucial things like water pumping stations?
It's probably just more difficult and more expensive.
Yeah, imagine that.
They're doing these networks so they don't have to have people monitoring the equipment. You can pay one person to monitor 10 sites instead of having...
You know, the theme is people. We need people. People should be used instead of always eliminated. Go ahead, Kyle.
Savings.
Yeah, I just want to point out that this is a really integral aspect of automation and a lot of the advanced sort of statistics and logging and things that are important for efficiency and operational extending abilities operationally. In other words, having less people monitoring or less people in physical parts of, say, a well system for a water utility or other site. I mean, without being specific. And a lot of times these controllers can be compromised because other elements of them are online, not necessarily the valve or that pump itself, but having someone at different sites to physically change the mechanical attributes of a system like this is unwieldy, and that's why a lot of this stuff is upgraded. But in some cases, it's older stuff or it's obsolete or it has vulnerabilities, and this is the result. So yeah, I did hear a little bit about that, but I haven't read any articles yet.
Go ahead, Gila.
I did want to point out that a listener who does live in the area and did send those articles into the show, we thank you, wanted to point out that one of the local news outlets referred to the attackers as cyber gorillas.
Oh, wow.
Which is an excellent turn of phrase.
Yeah, especially when cats are involved. Okay, absolutely. All right, we'll see where that goes. Go ahead, caller.
What I thought was funny was they're doing things like turning them off. I think they're just simply showing the ability or the vulnerability. You know, the question is, how far do they go from turning off the water supply versus changing, for example, the chlorine mix into the public water supply?
Right. The fact that that's even a possibility should be enough to say we cannot have this accessible in any way. First of all, you know, an ex-employee can just go nuts and decide to do this. That's probably a more likely scenario than random hacker from Iran or somewhere else. You know how hard it is to buy a refrigerator that doesn't have Wi-Fi access? Why in hell do I want my refrigerator connected to the internet? But we're pressured for everything from nuclear power plants to common household devices to be connected to everybody else. I don't want to be connected to everybody else. All right. Sometimes I do, but most of the time, no.
You can look up your recipe and know what to put in or possibly view into your refrigerator while you're in the supermarket so you can remember.
I have never even fantasized about doing something like that. And I imagine most people probably haven't.
Well, so you always have to have some new feature to sell the next model.
How's this for a new feature? No connectivity whatsoever. We promise. We'll keep it that way.
Hard to make a profit off of that.
I know.
I think what's happening specifically with appliances is the appliance manufacturers are not necessarily technology companies or they're not up to speed or developing.
Not very smart, you can say that.
They're not developing in parallel their own standards. They're usually sort of borrowing things like, oh, this wireless protocol, Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, or these things are pulled in from other consumer electronics and applied to their types of equipment, and they're just kind of slapping them into the design itself and running with it instead of developing it and codifying amongst their other industry colleagues, much in the way that is sort of, I think, a little more natural in telecommunications and in computers and in mobile, highly integrated semiconductor and those big manufacturing processes already have to kind of interoperate and cooperate. So I think it comes a little bit more naturally versus an appliance company that's really just trying to stamp out a whole lot of something that does sell, like you said. So there's sort of a difficulty there. Maybe that will change as electronics design or electrical engineering or those technology departments in industrial commodities become more reliant. They'll have more specialization, but there's still like this sort of newness to it. I think that it's not totally their wheelhouse yet, if that makes sense.
Go ahead, Rob.
It's also just kind of late stage capitalism at work, because in the case of something like the refrigerator, in previous generations, it was routine for the same refrigerator to be in your kitchen maybe, 30, 40 years before you needed to replace it. With proper maintenance, you could just keep it going. And the company that makes the refrigerator doesn't like that, because they want to sell you a new refrigerator. They want to sell you as many new refrigerators as they can. And one way of doing this is to insert new, funky features that are flashy or attractive, but also contain and depend on electronic equipment that does not have that kind of lifespan. The Android tablet in a fridge door is not going to last you 30 years.
Rob, can I tell you something? We've got a refrigerator that dates back to, 1974? 1974, a refrigerator has been running every day except when there were power failures. And it still works, and it still works good. In fact, we got a replacement refrigerator because we were going to retire that one, figuring, okay, maybe it's time, before we realized how old it actually was. And we actually brought the new one in and plugged it in, and it broke within 2 weeks. The brand new one just broke. And that was a message, I think. Just, we're going to hold on to this one until it dies and see what happens. Maybe I'm spending a lot of money for electricity. I don't know, but boy, they built things to last back 1974. I mean, good God.
The phrase, they don't build them like that anymore.
No, they don't, and they should.
They can't because they last too long. You don't have any planned obsolescence. There's just probably too expensive to build them that way anymore.
Yeah, but, people will buy quality. I realize I try to hold on to things for as long as possible, whether it's cars, computers, telephones, because things that last are better. There's no question.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll get off the line, let somebody else call in.
Thanks for listening.
Doing a great job, guys.
Thanks for your call.
And gals.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care.
Thanks, Tim. I do have a question, though. Is it the CFCs?
I was going to mention the refrigerant aspect of specifically refrigerators, but that's kind of a its own offshoot of the conversation, because that's also true with the new refrigerants for air conditioners. In other words, mm-hmm. Those types of materials that are core to that type of cooling system, often there's pressure from industry to either change or not change what types they're using and introduce them.
And we found the manual one day, and that's when we realized, my God, this thing's from 1974.
Yeah, they're probably the good stuff.
Nixon was president when that refrigerator was first plugged in. Think about that.
Someone does point out that your 1974 fridge uses 10 times the power than a modern one does.
No, you know what? I'm not sure that's true, because other facilities that have refrigerators, the electric bill is pretty similar.
And we have LED bulbs in it, yeah, so just chill.
I don't know if the bulbs are...
chill, okay.
They only go on when you open the door, too, so...
We upgrade.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's probably not as efficient, but I'm not getting rid of it. Not until it dies, all right? It's a challenge. It'll probably outlive me.
I mean, for what it's worth, we had our air conditioner bit it 2 summers ago and then bit it again this past summer. We just keep replacing them.
We had a similar situation. We actually disposed of 3 of them that had been piling up over probably half a dozen years.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet if I had held on to an air conditioner from 1974, it would still be going, probably be using more energy. But you know what? I think buying air conditioners every year uses up a lot of resources too, and that's not a good thing either.
Valid point.
All right. Shall we take another phone call? 802-321-4225 is our telephone number. If anyone out there has anything else to say, tell us how your holiday was or anything else that might be relevant.
I'm sorry if someone was trying. It seems the phone was off hook still.
Oh, it was off hook. Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't hear it ringing.
I lost track. I was having such a pleasant conversation. Or I guess we were still connected to our friend Tim.
Yeah, in the case of those air conditioners, though, while we're waiting for a call, our apartment building, we live in an apartment building, and part of the deal is they give us the air conditioner, and the building superintendent who was replacing it either last time or the time before that was saying that they don't last anymore, and they routinely replace, you know, dozens of these throughout the building at the beginning of every summer. Meanwhile, I think at my mom's house, probably the same air conditioner from when I was a child is still being used along with the refrigerator.
Add all that up, add all the air conditioners you've been through and add that one that's still chugging along and see which one is using more resources overall. I don't know how to do that, but.
As regards the phone, sorry, stepping away from the air conditioners for a second. A listener does point out that the phone is probably doing the right thing because this is supposed to be off the hook.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's very funny.
I didn't see it myself. Thank you for pointing that out.
Well, so if we did leave the phone off the hook, the show would be a lot shorter. I'll say that.
I mean, you said off the hook. I started singing the theme song because I missed it. Thanks, MTA. And it's weird singing the busy signal.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Speaking of busy signals, reminds me of music I heard this week, which reminds me of a film I saw this week that had the music in it, a film called Blackberry, which I highly recommend to people, but they make it so hard for you to find it. It aired once. It aired once on, I believe, AMC at some ungodly hour, and that was it. It's just done. It's not airing anymore, but it is on Prime and various other streaming services. But it's the story of BlackBerry. It's the story of the BlackBerry cell phone and data terminal, internet device. It's hilarious. It's educational. It's really captivating, and I strongly recommend it. It's so well portrayed. The actors are perfect for the roles they play. Now, Kyle, you had a BlackBerry. In fact, I think you still have a BlackBerry.
I have several.
Yeah.
One that I still use, actually.
Well, as a BlackBerry fan, what did you think about this? It's a Canadian film, too, by the way, so that's probably why we're not hearing much about it. But it's worth it. Track it down. It's got the spirit of Hackers, and it's just a whole lot of interesting things going on.
It tracks with a lot of what you might have imagined, but not as much. Like, it's behind the scenes. It looks a lot less organized than it did as a functioning handset provider.
Mm-hmm.
But What a wild story. Oh, I just didn't know. I didn't realize the extent of just how, like, flying by the seat of their pants they were. But the way they shot it is incredible. The story's funny.
You'll feel like you experienced it, just like the crazy hackers in Waterloo, Canada. The story of what almost became the Hamilton Penguins hockey team in Ontario as well. But that's not really the story. The story is the BlackBerry device and how it was something phenomenal and just what they had to go through to get it to be accepted by various companies like Bell Atlantic and AT&T and Singular and Verizon.
Yeah, those companies, I mean, huge plays were going on. I bankrolled a lot of that as a customer. A lot of other people did, too.
They didn't mention you.
No, but they never do. But it was jarring, I think, to have lived through a lot of those transitions, to have experienced all those different phones, and to see, like, one thing that they hit on that I'm so glad they did that I've been... It's been a thing that I've been harping on for a long time, which is the switch of selling minutes versus data and realizing, well, taking a very long time to make useful a data layer in the GSM, early GSM handsets. I mean, it was there as a token. But anyway, like, to experience it and then them finally having a device that could support practical uses, like, right, specifically with the iPhone, watching programs like movies, TV in the widescreen format with the lack of a keyboard. That was it. Mm-hmm. That's your tie into music videos. That's your tie into television, music, media, all of those industries also in California that go nicely with large amounts of data. So that was like a marriage that had to happen,
right?
And really broke BlackBerry because they were all about low data.
But
and
they were convinced that when the iPhone came out, it was going to crash every system it was connected to, because they're just trying to do too much. And also, you know, when BlackBerry was innovating ways of sending text messages, except instead of using minutes, they were using data. That was a big deal.
They got a lot out of it early on in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the way what you just said, like, they were kicking butt by all measures leading up to that. So it was really sad in some ways, because
it was sad, but it was funny as hell same time, because these guys, they were just so irresponsible at times, especially, you know, Paul and Mike were the founders of the company. And then this guy, Jim, comes in, who's really super aggressive and turns things around. And it's just watching the whole thing rise and fall. It's fascinating. The 2 hours flew by. In fact, there's two ways to watch this, because they, like the BlackBerry, they made it too complicated and too hard to figure out. But yeah, there's a film called BlackBerry, but then there's a three-part series called BlackBerry, which is the film divided into three parts, but there are some extra scenes. Not much, maybe 15 minutes total. But if you want to see everything, that's probably the best way to do it. But good luck tracking that down, because I think the only way you can see that is if you have a trial subscription to AMC Plus, which I didn't even know existed, but that's like a streaming service that AMC has, which is more than just AMC. But through Prime, you can get a 7-day free trial of AMC Plus. I just remembered I have to cancel that. Oh, how about I didn't wait?
Oh,
too
I was
long.
Supposed to remind you.
Yeah, I might have blown it.
I wanted to remind people the phone line is still open.
So BlackBerry, go out and see it. Well, you can't go out and see it. I heard it premiered in theaters way back in the spring and was a bomb, because I guess people don't like tech films, but I think our crowd would love it. I really do.
It had a lot of the same aesthetic and I think really good historical tech. that we saw in Halt and Catch Fire, which was another
pretty
good longer series.
But this was so much better than that, I think.
You think so?
It was so much more lively.
Yeah.
Halt and Catch Fire, I didn't like the people in it. I really didn't. I disliked all of them. These guys, I like all of them. There's something about them. Even the corporate executives. And I saw Michael Ironsides again from V. I don't know if anybody remembers that. Back in the 80s, this guy was just one of the freedom fighters, and he shows up in this.
And so, Mike Critch is there, and some shout-outs.
Mark Critch.
Or, I'm sorry, Mark.
Yeah, if you watch the Canadian show Son of a Critch, which is actually on CW now, which is a brilliant move on their part, he plays the dad, but he's also the guy that wrote the series, but he's in this. He plays the head of the NHL.
Head of the NHL, which is hilarious.
Oh, man. So, just out of curiosity, is there anybody here that we're talking to right now, which is basically Robin Gila, or anybody on the chat who has seen Blackberry, a single person? I'm not looking at the chat, so Gila, you'll have to translate for me, but I'm curious if anybody else has seen this. My point being that if nobody has seen this and we're in the tech community, that tells me they're doing a bad job marketing, which is exactly what people in the tech community would do, is a bad job marketing, but these guys supposedly are in the film business, so they should do better. I think this film really would be a hit if people actually saw it.
Yeah, we have not seen this. I did not know this was a thing until you mentioned it. And I'm reading the Wikipedia article now, and it said this thing premiered actually in February at the Berlin International Film Festival. And it was released in Canada in May. And it's been around for that long. I had not heard hide nor hair of this, and I would be definitely interested to see this.
I believe I had heard of it recently. We do have a listener, Legit Hats, said, yeah, I thought it was really food. I'm assuming that means good.
no, it was edible.
Well, you know, I'm guessing that, again, the intention was to say, yeah, I thought it was really good. And or
the F is right next to the G.
They thought it was really food and we're planning on eating it.
Well, blackberry is a food.
So far we've had, I thought it was really good. No, but I will find it, and never heard of it.
Yeah, that's my point. People have not heard of it. You know how I found out about it? I have a DVR, and I recorded Better Call Saul on that. I had a season pass to that. Every time Better Call Saul had a new episode, it would record it. So a year went by, Better Call Saul is back. Okay, it's recording again. Whoever programs that has continued to mark things as Better Call Saul and new. And that is how I found out about a show called Lucky Hank, which has the star of Better Call Saul in it, because there was a promo that aired at 5 a.m. and it was recorded as a new episode of Better Call Saul, but it was actually a 5-minute promo. Same thing here. For some reason, a 5-minute promo for this movie called Blackberry. I would never have heard about it had that not slipped into my DVR. So yeah, that's a weird way to spread the word about things, but it worked in this case.
On a different note, we are hearing from a listener that another piece of news has broken.
Uh-oh.
Out
with it.
Henry Kissinger.
Oh, did he finally kick the bucket?
This is what we're hearing. Yes.
Okay. Well, he's like 110, isn't he? It's about time.
Just 100.
I mean, I don't know. I'm going to say that about people, but for God's sake, my only thoughts about Henry Kissinger in the last 20 years is he's still alive. I really thought he died at least 3 different times, but this seems like it's going to stick.
There is a blog I read sometimes that had a recurring series that was entitled Henry Kissinger Was Right There, which is, you know, unkind but true.
In reference to other people.
In reference to other people.
Passing away.
Yes.
What, he's the harbinger of death or something?
No, that, you know, other people who have, like, I think when Betty White died, they were like, Henry Kissinger was right there. Stuff like that.
Oh, they're talking to death, saying you could have taken Henry Kissinger, but instead you took Betty White. I said, and you know, what's her name? Carter.
Rosalind Carter.
Rosalind Carter, who is lying in repose right now. He better not take away the limelight from her. That would be wrong.
So what you're saying is you don't want Henry Kissinger to be the Farrah Fawcett.
No, I'm not exactly sure what that means. I know she passed away too a couple of years ago, but did she take the limelight from somebody else?
No, she. What happened was, so in this particular circumstance, Rosalind Carter would be the Farrah Fawcett, because Farrah Fawcett died on the afternoon of a specific day, and the news was all about Farrah Fawcett for about 2 hours, and then all of a sudden news broke that Michael Jackson was, his death was imminent.
Wait, and Farrah Fawcett died when
the same day as Michael Jackson.
Why did I think she died much more recently than Michael Jackson? Wow.
Because Suzanne Somers just died, so maybe that was the thought.
No, but she died a while ago. Didn't she die last year? You know,
Suzanne Somers? No, she died like last month.
I'm all messed up. I don't know when anything's happening.
Farrah Fawcett and Michael Jackson died on the same day in 2009.
Wow. Murder-suicide? Is that what you're implying?
100%.
All right.
That's
all right.
100% what
I'm implying.
Boy,
this show took a dark turn. but hey, you know, Henry Kissinger at least is tormenting some other realm now. Again, I don't celebrate people's passings, but boy, that guy was a jerk. He was. He was.
He lived some life.
So I guess we're done, right? Because we're not getting any more phone calls. Give it another minute. 802-321-4225. Anybody has anything else to say? Otherwise, we're going to shuffle on out of here. Again, we're not on next week. We're on in 2 weeks. And also maybe, Rob, tell people about the meetings again in case they didn't listen to the show.
Yeah, 2600 meetings. They happen all over the world. You can find one near you or you can start one near you. Go to 2600.com/meetings with the info for the meetings for this Friday. They happen the first Friday of every month in most of the world. And in New York, go to nyc2600.net with all the info on the meeting that's happening at the Citigroup Center in the food court on 53rd Street and Lexington Avenue this Friday evening. I'll see you there.
And again, 2600.com/meetings for the list of all the meetings all around the world. And you can follow 2600 meetings on Twitter. Yes, Twitter, to get updates or to register your own meeting. Yes, Kyle, it looks like you have something to say.
Oh, I was just going to suggest also check in on people. You know, it's a dark time of year and we did take a dark turn. And so, you know,
you're saying someone should check in on Henry Kissinger? Is that what you're...
Oh, no, no, no. But, I mean, people might be down. They might be depressed. You talk to people. Yeah. So check in on the folks.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
You don't want them to go without attention or at least a sympathetic
ear. Yeah, no,
ear,
no,
a sympathetic
everybody...
ear.
Look, if Henry Kissinger were my neighbor, I would be checking in on him. And I mean that. You know, I think everyone's got the right to, you know, live a good life.
And if you're having trouble, ask for help.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
We have a phone call.
But Henry Kissinger is not my neighbor, so I thank the stars for that. Oh, yeah, okay, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Answering machine,
No, see, you got the wrong person, Kyle. No, that's not what I meant when I said get a call. That's Rebel again. Either he's calling from the past or he's calling in the present. I don't know which is more disturbing. I'll give it one more minute, and if it's if it's Rebel again, then no more calls, and if it's... someone else, then
I'm gonna clear this really really well. I'm gonna do it actually extra more than more than normal.
Yeah, purge the line there. But yes, 2600 meetings this Friday, because it's December 1st. December, oh my god, I hope we get snow this damn winter as opposed to last year.
Snowed yesterday while I was getting my lunch.
Where?
Midtown.
It did? I didn't know about that.
It flurried. It didn't
stick.
For
like a hot second.
But there was snow falling from the sky.
You know, usually I would get an EAS alert if there was a single snowflake falling. Actually, you know, I did get EAS on my phone. I talked about this on the other show. My phone suddenly lit up with EAS alerts. And basically the cryptic message that I got was, if you can't call 911, call this number. And like, what? What are you talking about? Why should I be calling either of those numbers? And then there's a button, okay. The only way to clear the message is to hit okay. And you hit okay and the message disappears. So that happened twice. I had no idea what was going on. Later, I read a news story that said the 911 system on Long Island had gone down. And what they did was, what they thought was the wise thing to do was to send an EAS alert to everybody, telling them there was an emergency because people couldn't call the cops, and to call this number instead, a number that completely vanished from your screen as soon as you acknowledged the message. It was really badly designed. I didn't understand what they were trying to say because of the way they phrased it. But I don't think that's how you tell people there's an alternate number to call if 911 is not working, by telling everybody there's an emergency. So next time, maybe they'll do a better job. And yes, there will be a next time because for some reason, phone systems go down. It's not as simple as it used to be. Yes, Rob.
We do have a report from someone in the chat that it is snowing in Jersey right now, apparently.
All right. Well, is it sticking? You know, I'd like to know if snow it's, actually...
It's not sticking. I think the ground is probably still a little too warm for it to snow. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, for it to stick. But yeah, people are... I love this part of the chat that people are chiming in and they're saying that it snowed yesterday where they were. It's snowing now. Nothing has snuck. And yes, Santiago, we also hope it snows in Madrid, because we love snow. There's a thing in the Times today that it's been like over 600 days since there's been an inch of snow in Central Park.
Yeah, there's something wrong with that. And like I said earlier this year, I want two winters this year because we didn't have one last year. And if I have to travel to one, I'll do that. But this can't stand. All right. With those foreboding words, we're going to say goodnight for tonight. Again, write to us, OTH at 2600.com. We'd love to hear from you. We will see you again in 2 weeks.
Good night for tonight.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.